Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We have such great dialogue in between conversations.
I wish you were a part of it.
But we can't really talk about that stuff because it can be a little bit personal. But I think that, once again, we are studying from Terrorized Bible Study, Tell It Well. And we are in the book of Acts, chapter 10, talking about Cornelius and Peter and his vision and obedience. There's just stuff all over the place. It's so meaty, and there's really a lot to take in. I'm sitting over here. You probably haven't heard me talk much because I'm taking it in, wondering about all the, just the obedience and the not, the disobedience. Just crazy.
It's the depth of the word. The word is deep. The deep calls out the deep. In fact, Lord, I pray right now for those that are listening that the deep just call out the deep for those that listen. And for anyone who is listening to this broadcast who has a belief in God but does not have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I pray that this broadcast, all four, will bring them into a saving knowledge. You know, we were talking last week about the shedding of prejudice and that it was just as much... Acts 10 is just as much about Cornelius having saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as it is for Peter of him shedding the prejudice that he has against the Gentile nation and to become the role model to set the path of how the church needs to reach out to all people, that we should be no favorites within the body of Christ. And then we ended the broadcast talking about threes. That this particular chapter has a lot of different references to three. And I looked up because I was curious as to why so many threes. And one of the things that I learned was that the number three, was a representation of a certainty of a truth. So the lowering down of the animals in the blanket, the white sheet, in front of Peter happened three times because God wanted him to understand without a doubt, God does not play favorites. What God calls clean, man cannot call unclean. And man is created in his image. God created man in his image. He loves all people, all nations, all tribes. Okay? And he wanted Peter to get it. Well, what I came across, I told Sabrina, I was so giggling because there was a three related to Peter that didn't fall within this chapter, and that there were three times in Peter's communications with Christ that he said no. And I thought, that's crazy. And so Peter's pretty consistent with his response. And I joked at the end of the broadcast and I said, which one are you? Are you like Cornelius when you hear God speak, you say, yes, Lord, what do you want me to do? You listen and you obey. Or are you like Peter and you say, no, Lord, and God has to say it three times before you get up and do it? Or are you like some people and God just speaks, he opens the door and you just never go through? Really, I want to be, you know, definitely where I'm like Cornelius, like if I am at least going to argue with God, Peter did at least follow through. And the three times, I just wanted to share those real quick. The first time that it happened was in Matthew 16:22. Peter says, no, Lord, when Jesus tells them that he is going to have to suffer and die, when they're at the transfiguration where he's being transformed and he's dressed in white and Peter wants to build a tabernacle and just stay there. And he's like, no, Lord, this cannot be. And Jesus is like, you know, it has to be. This is why I've been sent. He had to die. And then the second time that it happens is when they're at the Last Supper, and Jesus is going around to wash their feet, and Peter says, no, Lord. And he says, you have to be washed. Okay, then wash my whole body. And he says, no, your body's clean. You just need your feet. You know, it's like you don't need that extreme. And then the third time, obviously, is here with, you know, no prejudice, not to judge, you know. And so I just thought it was really funny that Peter had three
times.
I'm
so much like Peter.
I am too. You and I are a lot alike, Sabrina. I think we're both Peters.
Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah. And what came to my mind is that good intentions do not necessarily reflect obedience. I want you to think on this. This is really good. Good intentions. I can have the intention to do that which God has shown me, but obedience is only when I act upon it. Okay, so to say, yes, Lord, I agree that prejudice is wrong. But if I don't act upon it, that's not walking in obedience. to be like Cornelius and say, yes, Lord, okay, so the man Peter is the one I'm supposed to have, but I'll wait for him to come to me. That's not obedience. It, good intentions are not good enough. It has to have where you have hands and feet put to it, okay? Mm-hmm. Obedience is an action. It's not just a heart, it's an action. It's the marriage of the heart and the body with what's been told, okay? And Peter and Cornelius both had a matching of the heart and the body to follow through what was revealed to them. And that's what God wants us to have. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not always easy, though.
No.
No. Can you imagine if you were told by an angel? I mean, it's just, I want you to go find this man.
I want that.
33 miles away. I do, too. I want to hear God so clearly that I see it that distinctly.
I want an angel in my room to speak to me. I do. And give me just amazing direction.
From God.
From God.
From God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that Sabrina wants the angels. She wants the message from God.
Yes, I want the message from God. But to have it delivered like that, it's amazing. Oh, my goodness. How cool.
You know, I think that they had it that way because they didn't have the written word the way we do. Right?
Right.
And versus we have the written word of God. And so when you read the word of God, and this morning as I was reading Acts 10, I'm going to start crying. I have somebody in my life that I am crying for God to reach this person. I am begging God for their soul. And it happens to me multiple times throughout the day where this person is heavy. And I feel that this is my urgent moment, that this is my person right now in my life. And I feel the war of the battle of this person being tugged back and forth, like they're the little rope in the middle of the tug of war battle. And as I was reading Acts 10 this morning, I was so overwhelmed by the wonder and the beauty of God's word that I felt that I was reading this word in behalf of that person. And it was a very sweet moment for me with God. And I think what God has done is that as we are reading the word, he gives us those moments, and you have those moments, Sabrina. Mm-hmm. I know you do because you've shared them with me. And I know he gives them to you when you have your worship music going. And I know that he has done it for you when you're playing with your son, Adam. Mm-hmm. He has given you songs that you wrote out in an instant because he put it, boom, it was right there. And so you do have that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
But it's why we want more. We want more. We want more.
Yes.
Yes, I am with you. When God has opened the door and revealed to us something, what are we going to do? What's our response? And so that's what I want us to focus in on. Peter going to the Gentiles, it opened up the door of respectability to the Gentile. Because up to that point, Jews did not respect Gentiles. It's huge. When we have doors presented before us, we can say how I'm going to respond. And so here's what I want us to think about. When God has placed before us an opportunity of something that he wants us to do, there's many doors that can be walked through to know God in a greater way. One, first and foremost, would be salvation. Have I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for my sins? That's what Cornelius did. That's what we've been honing in on. The second one is, what about walking through the door of hearing his truth? I mean, literally, as a truth is being spoken from the word of God, being willing to hear it. How many people have heard a biblical truth that is an open door from God and shut the door? And how can we, let's just say, we can apply that to unbelievers. But in our own hearts and minds, how can we shut the door? I mean, we can in a split second when we, you know, for example, if we're having an aggressive verbal discussion with somebody in our family, okay? You know, it's a heated debate, you know, verbally. An open door may come in that you might have the thought, you know, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Mm-hmm. Am I willing to say, okay, I'm going to walk through that door? I'm going to be the one that walks through that door and being the one to make that choice. Okay, that is making sure that we honor that which, you know, may not be worthy of being honored at the time. Okay, but that's an open door. Another open door is giving the truth. Who in my life am I giving it to? I know that Sabrina has, I would like to be a fly that follows Sabrina, because I can imagine that we could write a whole book in one day just from the things that she has spoken truth to somebody in her life that she encounters, because she is one that the minute she meets somebody, it's going to come out, you know, oh, well, I read this in the Bible, or this was, you know, have you thought about this? And she will begin to affirm using scripture and proclaiming the truth. Mm. That is an open door. It is an open door that we're called to be faithful to speak. We've pretty solidified that, because Peter even says we're called to testify when he's telling Cornelius, we have to testify. And he says that we testify to that he is the one who judges the living and the dead.
I know, and thank God we aren't the judge. That should take the pressure off right there.
It does. It completely does. Now, I want to make sure that we understand the difference. God does not play favorites, but he does judge. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
He judges both the righteous and the unrighteous.
That's right. That's right. And so that's not favoritism. Mm-hmm. And often, doesn't our world tell us we're acting as judge?
Mm-hmm.
But when the scripture is what judges, because the word of God judges.
Right. It convicts.
It does. It's not about favoritism. There's a difference. There is a difference. And so if I am making sinful choices, that will be judged.
Absolutely. And as a believer to another believer, we're called to
hold each other
accountable and say, look, the choices that you're making are probably not God's best. And this is where it says in the scripture. And at that point, it's up to them whether or not they choose to walk in obedience.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It's just hard when you're a believer looking at an unbeliever and you're like, oh, God can do great things if you just... You know, and there has to be such a thin line with not judging, just loving, and it's tough.
It is. And being willing to love somebody enough to say, you know what, I recognize this sin because it's my own sin. I've had to repent of this sin.
Right.
I have had to confess it. And I can promise you, I know the times of refreshing that Acts 3:19 talks about when you repent and turn to God. And helping somebody to see that this is not where...
We're no different.
Mm-mm. No. And I'm not saying this to you because I think I'm bigger, better, greater, whatever. No, I'm saying this because I've been there, done that, and I know the truth of what happens and the freedom when I have confessed my sins before God.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, the confession of a sin out loud cannot bring the same freedom of a confession of a sin to holy God. There's a difference. And there is an unleashing of the freedom that happens when we confess that sin to holy God, the creator of heaven and earth, who sent his son to wash away that sin. That's when refreshment comes.
Right.
That's when refreshment comes.
It's like when you've offended somebody, you're like, I'm sorry, versus saying, do you forgive me?
Yeah.
Completely two different things. Yeah, you're sorry.
Yeah.
But
sometimes we're sorry just because we got caught.
Yeah. But the healing happens.
It does.
When you say, do you forgive me?
Yeah.
Because you're humbling yourself under God's mighty hand.
You know, Sabrina, there is a really good book that's related to that. That I think it's Dr. Gary Chapman with his five love languages. He has written one that goes to, it's called The Five Languages of Apology. And it goes into talking about that each person actually has a language of apology, and oftentimes we will speak in our language of it. And so you are a person that needs to, will you forgive me? Whereas you could have a relationship with somebody that thinks that saying just I'm sorry is sufficient. And then you could also be in a relationship, one of the forms of apology he talks about is the people that restitution has to happen. You have to do something to make up for it. And
wow.
Yeah. There's, and so it's a good read. It's a good one. So I highly recommend it. We did that with our marriage class at Westside one time. And I have not stopped thinking about that since. Cause so when I hear people talk, I'm like, oh, okay, that helps me remember. I need to remember that one. I will make sure I say, will you forgive me?
No pressure.
Oh, that's totally so kidding. Funny. The other door that can open is for us to be willing to receive the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we can seek salvation. We want to hear the truth. We can give the truth. But there are times in our lives that we have to be willing to receive the truth. And I think that is the hardest when we are a long-standing Christian, because we think, I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I know it.
Pride.
And, you know, and I think the funniest places in my life that I receive this the most is through my children. Somehow they can point out so quickly to me.
Me too.
Things that aren't quite what they should be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was doing this study in the Amplified, I wanted to read a passage in the Amplified Bible. I'm going to get it opened so that Sabrina can read it for us. In the Amplified Translation, because it talks about a type of what happens in our walk when we are willing to not just receive it, but literally to adhere to Christ. It's one thing for us to believe, but it's another thing. The authenticity has to go beyond just, I agree. It has to go into almost like Velcro. Okay, it's the way I would describe it. It's a form of Velcro.
I love that.
The
sticking together.
Right here, Sabrina, verse 43. Okay, and that's Acts 10, but it's in the Amplified Translation that I'd like for you to read.
To him all the prophets testify, bear witness, that everyone who believes in him, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on him, giving himself up to him, receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Yes. Okay, I want to
love that
finalize our study with that, and that the authenticity, the walk that truly is walking the walk like Cornelius and Peter, is a walk that's like Velcro. Now, Velcro is this hook that hooks in. It means literally that we're going to cling to him like Velcro. We're going to adhere. It means that we're going to trust, knowing that God's got the best interest in mind for us. So even when he's asking us to break down things like cultural things like prejudices or insecurities or things that our society teaches us, even when we're called to let go of those, we have to trust him and let go. We have to rely on him to understand that he's the one that I want to be stuck to, no other. And then give every part of ourselves to be stuck on him. And when we do that, that's when God can do the most amazing thing. And I had this vision in my mind of, or picture in my mind of, a person running and jumping in a Velcro suit and it's being stuck to a Velcro wall. Really, that's what it is. It's a leap of faith and getting stuck on God. And so as you look at the open doors God has for you, our prayer is that you get stuck on God. God bless.